coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com, that's where to go for all of your information needs. A lot of new content there, including some videos on the Hagman Report page as well as the show page, but the HagmanReport.com, a lot of good information there. I'm going to thank everyone, please accept my thank you for purchasing my book, my new book, In the Dark of Night. Here it is right here. Love the paperback version. Laid out really nice. It's a good read. I spoke to Russ Dizdar about the contents of this book over the past couple of days. Very interesting things there. But, he said, you know, you kept me up all night. I said, what do you mean? He said, I was reading the book. So anyway, a lot of great reviews on Amazon. It's holding at a 4.9, review. And thank you for dropping by and adding your review. And if you don't mind, if you've read the book, drop in some comments, make them honest, you know, an honest review for the book. That does help the visibility in amongst the 22.5 million titles, I guess, in Amazon. It's amazing to think about that. But In the Dark of Night, Blood of the Innocent, there it is. Link is in the program description box at HagmanReport.com or HagmanReport.com, period. And grab it on Amazon. Now, the signed copies are, well, the first batch have all been sent out, okay? Every single one of them. We ran out of books because they only delivered half of a pallet, and they delivered the other half, a half of the other half, and I'm expecting the other half to come, and then it'll be back in full, the inventory will be full again. So I just want to let you know. So if you're waiting for a signed copy, it might be another day or so, it looks good. So, but Amazon, Kindle, and paperback, as well as HagmanStore.com. And speaking of HagmanStore.com, grab yourself some coffee too. Hey, we like coffee, right? All right. A couple of things tomorrow, folks. Tomorrow, listen carefully. We are not going to have a regular show tomorrow. There are things going on that, you know, somebody had written a little comment or a comment on our show page about, well, we haven't heard, you know, much about investigations being done. And, you know, Doug said he was going to give an update on investigations. Well, let me tell you something, okay? Investigations do not get solved in, 48 minutes minus commercials. All right? So it does take a lot of groundwork and a lot of time and effort and making sure things are done. So because of that, tomorrow, Thursday, May 27th, will not be a regular show. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do. I have to talk with this man, Randy Taylor, and we'll make it some sort of a decision. Randy Taylor, how are you, sir?
Fantastic, Doug. How are you, my friend?
Good. Thanks for joining me again today.
Wait a minute. Did I get the right address? Is this Gumball Machine Investigations?
No, this is Gumby Incorporated.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought this was one where you just plug it in and you have an answer in 10 minutes.
Oh, you know what? We do have that in the lobby. We have one of those in the lobby.
Okay.
But it takes your weight as well.
Yes. And lies.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I read that comment too. I was a little dismayed by it.
Well, you know,
I mean, if we could make stuff up all day long, you know, but I'd really prefer to stick to our tried and true method that we've had since I've known you for the last 20 some years of, you know, actually doing the investigation and actually following through. And somebody made a comment to me by email about what we were alluding to yesterday.
Oh,
before I come out and say something on the show, and this has been our practice, I know, since I've been doing a show with you, I punch holes in my own theories.
Yep. Yes, you do.
I punch them, I beat them, and I work my way through them. And that's pretty much, on a lot of this stuff, you know, if we give you a little bite, a tease, a taster, that's just so you know that we're not just sitting here on our hands, that we're actually working on something. We got a lot of things in the fire. There's a lot of irons in the fire right now. Little understaffed to follow up on a lot of this stuff. But we'll get through it as we always have. And I think we had a great show yesterday. A lot of great comments. I want to say thank you to Bree Danielle. She sent a really beautiful email, and I had to share it with Doug.
Bree,
that's the reason we do this. You folks out there like you are the reason. My friend from Australia, Adam Munyard. Adam, this is why we do it. I know you're Australian, but you guys are facing the same thing out there. When we talk about global cabal,
global,
not just the U.S., not just the U.S. And we've got our hands full. I'm not sure what's going on. I was actually just in the shower, and I caught a little bit of this. What's going on in California with that shooting?
What are you talking about?
What shooting? There's some kind of shooting. It was on one of the news stations. A bunch of people were shot today out in California. So I figured another distraction there from that Governor Newsom, about ready to get himself blown out of there.
Yeah,
I don't mean violently. I mean blown out, removed
politically. Yeah, you know, I'm not 100% sure, and I don't like to jump on the. Initial reports until I find out. Going back to, I'm trying to find this email here. I'm looking at this. Going back to emails, I just wanted to, did you see, it was from a woman in Canada. Did you get one about, Mike Lindell?
No. But he's. We're going to talk about him today. So go ahead and let's. What was the email?
Well, sir? All right. Give me a chance to find this. I might have put this in a different file because it does have something to do with what we're going to be talking about. Yeah. But let's first go. Yeah, I don't know whether you saw the 21 gun salute given to George Floyd. Did you see that 21 gun salute given to George Floyd?
Yeah. You know what? I wish as many people cared about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for their sins,
yes,
as care about this George Floyd. Okay? I'm not, it infuriates me.
Saint Fentanyl.
Absolutely, yeah. Infuriates me.
No, you're right.
This is what's wrong in this country today. This is what's wrong in the world. Our priorities are so messed up. I could care less about George Floyd as a human being. I'm sorry he died. All of that he brought on himself. Every bit of it. Okay?
Yeah.
And he died of it. Folks, you can sit there and think all day long that the cop kneeling on him killed us. It didn't. Okay? The guy had like a 98% oxygen level when he died, according yes. to the autopsy. Okay? 98%, well, that's better than mine. My oxygen level wasn't that high all the time. And I'm not joking. I don't. That was a political dog and pony show. And that Chauvin guy, look, I don't know anything. I think Chauvin's somebody told me he's a Democrat. Okay. I don't care. He didn't, as far as I'm concerned, he didn't kill that man.
No, I don't believe he did.
And I still don't understand 3 sentences passed on him. I haven't figured that out yet. I've never in my entire life seen that.
Yeah, you would think that the second degree covers the manslaughter and the lesser charge, right? I mean, I don't
yeah.
know. But.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're backtracking here, but that's something that's puzzled me since that trial and ever since that verdict.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you get charged 3 times for the same thing?
Well, you embrace white nationalism.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, let me... Let me show you the 21 gun salute of George Floyd.
Let's do this.
Okay? Now,
yeah.
This was a kind of a tongue-in-cheek statement. People are saying, "Well, you got 21 gun salute." All right, here's what happened. A journalist from I think Australian News was covering the George Floyd memorial. This is not new. This is like a couple of days old. Check this out. All right, and this is the left's America. This is the communist America. Go ahead and play this.
Well, look, it's not going to be signed in time, at least according to the timeline that the White House and U.S. President Joe Biden had. They wanted this bill of comprehensive police reform to be... just got to be careful here with some gunshots. Excuse us. It sounds like gunshots. I'll let you know what this is. These seem to be gunshots.
You think?
Shit, where is that?
We're okay.
All right, no, that was from The Guardian. My apologies. I thought it was from Australia. So, yeah, the 21-gun salute from George Floyd.
Herd Knightley,
right. But you know, and to me, this is sad because, look, we know how the guy died. I mean, he certainly didn't have a good... I mean, the guy died of a fentanyl overdose. Toxicity by drugs. And... end of story. But the way this was politicized, Randy Taylor,
yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen really. It's driving that racial divide in this country.
Yeah.
And the left is focused on it.
Yep.
And this happened in every country that has fallen to communism, as a side note. There were racial overtones, not undertones. Overtones in every case.
Yeah.
And it's just part of it. It's breaking up the people. The old saying, united we stand, divided we fall. The globalists, the people that are engineering this takeover of the world. And don't deny it. That's not a conspiracy theory. You know that. We know that. I know that. My neighbor knows that. Even dummies know that. All right. They have to divide us to take us over. That's that simple. Because as a whole, the American people, especially as a whole, you're not going to take us over. But you start breaking us up and dividing us, which they've managed to do in the last, couple decades? For sure in the last decade, a little longer. That dividing line, that partisan line of left and right, which is not even close to center now. Now it's over here and over here. They couldn't be further apart. Every issue that comes up, they'll drop it on that center line, just like dropping a hockey puck at the game, and it gets fired off to one side or the other. Yep. It's extreme left, extreme right, and here's the problem. The problem is people don't think for themselves anymore, and I'm going to point at conservatives too on that. We automatically go, that's what they're all saying. That's it.
Yep.
You still got to think for yourselves, folks. Okay. And that's one of the things when I give you a theory, I'm going to present a theory in the next couple shows. I want you, and a lot of you are going to get, your ears are going to close. You're going to get mad and you're going to say, I hate Randy Taylor and he's uninformed and he's an idiot. And cool. I've been called an idiot before. I don't care. I'm still sitting here. I'm the idiot that said don't take guns to the Capitol on the 6th. And I took a lot of flack for it. But it's a good thing we didn't take guns to the Capitol on the 6th, right?
This time, in my view.
This time. But the point is, you can slam me all day long. I don't care. I sleep just fine at night. But anyway, I'm going to give you this theory here in the next couple of days. And it's not something I'm saying we're going to do and we're not going to do. I'm just working on it. I'm punching holes in my own theory right now. It's got to go through that final spin cycle.
It's possible it might not make it out of that cycle, or it might make it. It might. You know, who knows? But speaking of that, on this, now this is on the same, kind of in the same arena, okay?
Yes, sir.
Fauci. Fauci now, Rand Paul came out and slammed Fauci for being disingenuous. President Trump, back a year ago, was talking about Fauci in terms of the origins of this COVID-1984 Wuhan Chinese Communist Chinese Party virus. And this was a lab thing, lab created, and as and he would know based on the information that, that he is privy to. And, of course, the funding by the NIH into Wuhan for weaponization or gain-of-function research. Here now, let's take a look at this, because, folks, I don't know how many people have seen this. Fauci, now this is a couple of days old, so we kind of laying the groundwork for the discussion hence here. Fauci is now open to the lab origin possibilities, which he is backflipping, but there's more to this story, but watch this in preparation of the next. Here it is in a YouTube setting. Go ahead.
As Senator Rand Paul, who you've tangled with in the past, basically suggesting that you and the NIH funded risky research that eventually down the line is connected to COVID-19. Don't want to dwell on this for too long, but I did want to give you that chance to react to his comments today.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually preposterous. And I mean, to bring something that up is really not helpful. He was saying we funded a kind of research in China that could lead to dangerous research. That's not the case. So what he was saying was just absolutely not true. It's really unfortunate that he brought that up. It really does nothing but cloud the issue of what we're trying to do. So it was just, you know, unfortunate that he said that. It was said in an accusatory way that just made no sense and was not based in any fact at all.
That has been the subject of a lot of our fact checking on the coronavirus for the past year. And like you said, there's a lot of cloudiness around the origins of COVID-19 still. So I wanted to ask, are you still confident that it developed naturally?
No, actually, that's the point that I said. And I think the real unfortunate aspect of what Senator Paul did is he was conflating research in a collaborative way with Chinese scientists, which was, you know, you'd almost have to say if we did not do that, we would almost be irresponsible, because SARS-CoV-1 clearly originated in China, and we were fortunate to escape a major pandemic. So we really had to learn a lot more about the viruses that were there, about whether or not people were getting infected with bad viruses. So in a very minor collaboration as part of a subcontract of a grant, we had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists. And what he conflated that is that therefore we were involved in creating the virus, which is the most ridiculous, majestic leap I've ever heard of. But no, I'm not convinced about that. I think that we should continue to investigate what went on in China until we find out to the best of our ability exactly what happened. Certainly, the people who've investigated say it likely was the emergence from an animal reservoir that then infected individuals, but it could have been something else, and we need to find that out. So, you know, that's the reason why I said I'm perfectly in favor of any investigation that looks into the origin of the virus.
All right. Yeah, Randy Taylor, what a bunch of crap that is, because
I would love to strap him to a gurney, inject him with the virus, and put him in a closet for about 30 days.
Okay.
That guy right there is a liar and a murderer.
Yeah, in my view,
this is Nazi level kind of guy.
Right. And everything he's done is against the Nuremberg Code in this respect. Go ahead.
Well, but he's a sociopath. He don't care. Well, he could care less. He probably was killing hamsters when he was a kid. You know, I don't like the guy. I don't trust the guy. I don't know why he's still there. And he basically just said it's part of a sub grant, blah, blah, blah. We did this, but we didn't create it. No, you financed it being created. Okay. It's like John Gotti going, oh, I didn't kill him. No, you paid to have him killed. You know what I mean? It's semantics. The guy's a murderer.
Right.
And here's the worst part. One day he'll be asked to step down, and he's just going to go about his business like nothing. He's going to sleep like a baby at night.
And you know something? That day of asking him to step down might come sooner rather than later. A report from Zero Hedge, and you can tell criminality, or at least the criminal line of thinking. When people start doing things in order to hide their previous activities, okay, it's a pretty good, you know, anyone who's ever investigated a crime or raised teenagers, I'll tell you, okay? So
there you go, or raised teenagers.
Or raised teenagers. Okay, I didn't do that, and that's not mine, you know, okay, anyway. Biden shut down the Wuhan lab investigation probing the origins of this communist Chinese virus. This is according to Zero Hedge. And now the Biden regime pulls the plug on a Trump-era State Department investigation into whether this Chinese Communist Party virus originated from the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. Of course it did. This Muppet, this garden gnome Fauci, knows it did because he financed it or directed the financing from NIH through Echo Health Alliance into China when everyone said, don't do this. Mm-hmm. And so now they're saying, oh, well, Biden's the way you buy. Well, they're the panel Biden. We can't have this. We've got to shut down this investigation because we certainly wouldn't want the CCP or Jinping to be pissed off at any one of us. My goodness, our handlers. But anyway, so this is China's biological weapons program. Definitely, in my view, played a role in this. And according to the report, based at right here on Zero Hedge, you can see that everything about this is being shut down, including and Fauci's front and center in all of this. So yeah, what do you think? I mean, what a bunch of crap.
Well, that and anybody that's denying that China, you know, hatched this doesn't understand China's foreign policy. China. They have an overabundance of people. They have too many people. China looks at the world as its next habitation.
Right.
And China is smart enough. They're smart enough. They're builders. They're not destroyers. They're builders. They're smart enough to know that the best way to take a country is biologically. Okay. Don't destroy the buildings. Don't destroy the infrastructure. You know, leave everything intact. Just kill the people. Clean up the bodies. Burn them. Move in. And anybody that doesn't understand that, those we'll call you Democrats. Okay. That is exactly how China, and that's what they're, everything that they militarize, especially something like this. This was just a test run. And the funny thing is when you look at it, there's so many aspects to this too. China releases the virus. China tries to hide things about the virus. Then China, when they start talking about shots and this and that and immunizations and all, China's been there in social media creating shadows of a doubt about it. They're behind everything. They're playing everybody, all ends against the middle. And this is what we've got to comprehend. Forget Russia. I'm tired of hearing about Russia being our enemy. Russia is closer to being our friend than our enemy. China is the enemy. And something else, and I'm going to share this with you, which I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to share it anyway. Someone that I know, that I trust, that works in the government. And it's out in the public domain. If you know what names to look under. There's people from Iran, scientists from Iran right now in Wuhan. You weren't aware of that, were you? I'm not going to get into a lot of detail because I don't want anybody in trouble, but it showed up in an investigation. Somebody shared that information with me.
State that one more time, if you don't mind.
There's scientists from Iran currently and have been for some time in Wuhan, China.
So, okay,
working there, and I can't get into a whole lot more with you on that.
All right.
Doug, you probably know the person I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. Okay.
And if I say too much, but I will say this, and I was safely able to say what I just said because that is in the public domain if you know the names to look under. You'd have to know the names of some particular people in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard to be able to do that search and turn it up. But it's there. It's public. It's open source. You just have to know what to look at.
So Iranian scientists are in Wuhan.
Why?
Right. Why? Well,
let's get into it. We know why. But so that's a rhetorical why. This is gonna get nastier. Yes.
Okay, without, because I want to dance around this a little bit, but I want to also hit something. Would Fauci be aware of that?
Oh, he'd have to be. Fauci's aware of everything. He's in bed with these people. He's been there with them when this was planned, when this was hatched, when this was released. He's been aware of everything. This wasn't a mistake. This is not somebody snuck out of the lab with a vial or dropped in the street and next thing you know, 200 people were dead. This is a test run for the future. People pay attention. Your country has sold out to these people. And Fauci he's like the guy standing in front of the orchestra. What do you call that guy?
Conductor.
Yeah, that guy, the conductor. Fauci is the conductor. Okay? Fauci does not work for the U.S. as we understand it. Fauci works for the globalist. There is such big things on this table. And this is what we talked about before we lost the election. People, if Trump didn't get back in office, we were the last thing between the world and total evil. The United States was. And we screwed that up.
All right. Let's go through this because I believe that we can reconstruct the criminal activity of this, of the globalists in advance of the 2020 elections.
And, yes.
Okay. So we know that they were active prior to, I mean, you go back to 2016. Everything was kind of getting in place. The machines, the people, and the scientists, okay, with respect to these epidemics. You go back to HIV, and even SARS, okay? Even go back further to the swine flu. And on HagmanReport.com is a, I believe is a piece, I'd have to go back through this, but I believe it's a piece about it's there. You just have to go to the second page of the swine flu BS that took place. All right, so having said that, connecting the dots here, because as we've often said and I've often said, there's two events that we have to address before we can move on. The origins of this Communist Chinese Party virus, COVID-1984, and the consequences outside of that, or you know, the jabs. So that's one, and then the other one closely related is the election of 2020. Now, I was trying to find an email that mentioned you and Mike Lindell, I think it was to you and I saying that we need to pray for Mike Lindell. And this has to do with the elections. Right now, the forensic audits all across the United States, Randy, as you well know, people's heads are exploding. I mean, whether it's Chris Hayes, Rachel Maddow, I mean, you name the person, even some on the right, their heads are exploding. Okay. Now, this is one thing that I can't remember if you and I spoke about this or not. And refresh my memory if we did or didn't. But I think it was yesterday maybe or today or I don't know when this was. Eric the Tech, I sent you a Mike Lindell clip. He was on with on the War Room with Steve Bannon. Can we play that? Or did I hit you at a bad time? Hang on just a second. Check this out, folks. Check this video out here and listen carefully to what he says, because he does have, number one, he has the president's ear. My conversation, and Randy, you know that I speak with Brandon House, and Brandon House and Mike Lindell have forged this incredible relationship, a friendship. Okay, and that's where all of his documentaries are filmed at Brandon House's studio. So, here's one thing I don't want to do. I don't want to recreate the wheel. You and I have talked about this. Why would we bring Mike Lindell on? You know, it'd be nice to talk with him on air, and maybe we will sometime, but let him do what he needs to do rather than have him come on and say what he is doing when we can go right to the source. So having said all of that, check this out and tell me what you think of this, especially the last two sentences uttered from Mike Lindell. Here it is.
Walk us through the critical path of the air game.
Well, it started, you know, when I first got the evidence, and that was on January 9th. And as I got more and more and did my own due diligence and had teams of people gathering this, what we have is they're called cyber packets. These are forensic packets that you can't change. They're 100% evidence of each flip that happened, each attack by China. And what I did then is I wanted to make sure I went out and got the best white hat hackers. Different ones from different parts of the government that are protect our country. They validated everything. So now we have our royal flush to bring to the Supreme Court. But what we're doing now, we have about, I believe it's five different cyber teams, different teams where we're doing audits right now. And we're going to start with different states. So some of the states that aren't part of aren't the swing states, so to speak. And we're getting those attorney generals, because it happened in every state, Steve. It happened, this attack happened in every state. We're getting these attorney generals on board, and we want to have anywhere from four to, the sky's the limit, on board. And they will, now, when they're on board, which we already have some, and we're going to get a lot more, when they're on board, then the lawyers right now are writing up the case as we speak, and this will end up then, within 5 to 6 weeks, get to the Supreme Court with them being the plaintiffs. We set it on their doorstep. And I'm telling you, by that point, everyone in this country knows this case is coming. All it is, if they accept it, which they will vote 9-0, not 8-1, not 7-2, 9-0, because it's so obvious and you can't lie. You can't, it's 100%. This is it. Rachel Maddow and MSNBC and CNN are going, wow, it wasn't a conspiracy theory. This is an attack on our country. It's going to pull this election down. And what they do then, there has been precedents before, and that's in down tickets. When you find a crime has been committed, of course you give it to the person that actually won. So I've said it before. Donald Trump, I believe, will be back in by the end of August.
All right.
We were talking about that yesterday. That's what it was. Now, there'd be so much overwhelming evidence that even someone on the left would have to go, oh, wow. Wow. We can't dispute this anymore. Because what the people on the left need to understand, I know we're drawn by partisan lines. People on the left need to understand this can happen to your candidate, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't think this is just, you know, orange man bad and you know, conservatives suck. No, this is the United States of America. We all live here. We all use the same voting system. We got to, right or left, the voting system and the results of the 2020, because if you're a legitimate, honest person that can look in the mirror and say, I'm an honest person, you would want the truth. Even if it means your candidate gets yanked out of office. If you're an honest-to-God person and all these, the Pelosi's and all out there running around quoting Bible verses and blah, blah, okay, prove it.
Right.
Prove to me that you're a Christian. Don't just say the words. Please, do something Christian-like. Like, search for the truth. Take a look at your moral compass and see if it's even near calibrated. See, this is that's the farce of all this. Okay, even the left should be concerned. Not concerned that they're going to get found out, concerned that their votes were manipulated, just like the rights. The system's broken. It has to be fixed. And Joe Biden and that whole clown show need to be pulled out of office and Donald Trump put in. And we were talking about yesterday, there is no precedent. I know he said something about a precedent. This precedent's another type of cases.
Right, downvotes. And that kind of threw me, okay?
This is going to be the Supreme Court let us down before.
Right. So what he said about the Supreme Court, I kind of agree with you in the sense the precedent's not there, except in downvote races, but not like this.
This is so huge.
Right.
This affects the world. This doesn't affect, Johnson County somewhere in a state. This is the whole world will be affected by whatever the Supreme Court does. And, yeah, I know he said there would be 9-0. No, there's other things that should have been 9-0 on, and they didn't even look at it.
Right. Now, I like Mike, and I think he's got a lot of great stuff, but I think that's a stretch.
I love the guy. And this is a man that's taken his personal fortune. This is a guy that's more like our forefathers than most of us. He has taken everything he has and put it on the line here.
He's lost more money than I've earned in my lifetime. Okay,
Thank you.
The last 2 years.
This is the closest thing to being one of our forefathers you've ever seen in modern day history, is Mike Lindell. And he's put everything on the line. This is a man, a self-made millionaire, success story, a man who came up from nothing. But he believes in God. He believes in doing the right thing. And he has put it all on the line. So, you know what? I don't mind him being a little overly optimistic, but at the same time, I'm not going to put all my eggs in that basket. I hope that it is. And if the Supreme Court doesn't do it, then I'd be game for marching on the Supreme Court. I'd even go to that. Somebody's got to get their attention. This is the Supreme Court's supposed to be the final say on the land, and they have let us down so many times that I wonder sometimes why we even house them, why we have them.
You know, I agree with you on that. I
don't understand. They've failed in their mission so many times.
Exactly. I'm not convinced that they're going to prevail here or, you know, help us here.
No, I don't. Or even look at it. See, that's the thing. You know, looking at it and then actually ruling on it, that's two different worlds. We got to get these clowns to look at it. To actually examine the facts. And we talked about this yesterday. Judges are terrified that someone's going to bring this in their courtroom.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that. Yeah.
They're terrified. They're looking at this going, oh, man, why me? You know, because no matter what they do, half of the United States is going to hate them. So, you know, you just, what a bad spot to be in.
But this
is what you're supposed to do, because you took your hands and you put it on this thing right here, this Bible, and you said, I'm going to defend the Constitution. You swore to it.
But anymore, that doesn't mean anything to people. But so let me ask.
I know that, but I'm talking old school, you know.
I know. And you know, when I put my hand on the Bible and swear in court, I'm going to tell you what, I take that really seriously, because I'm going to be I'm going to have to answer to, you know, the judge, but I'm going to be having to answer to the judge.
God strike me down if I'm lying.
Right. So, okay. So, there's kind of like two things going on here, and Steve Bannon alluded to it, but he talks at greater length during his shows about it. There's the ground game going on, and then Mike Lindell's got the air game. He's the machines. He's the guy that goes into the statistical anomalies and such. Now the ground game is something a little bit different, and I'm going to show you this. Okay, now this came out, I believe it was yesterday. And this is Raheem Kassam reporting on the phenomenal grassroots events taking place in Arizona. This is under 3 minutes, but I think it's important to put this right in line with the Lindell clip, because again, there's two different things going on here. So if you don't mind, can we play that, Eric Tech? This is Raheem Kassam reporting on Arizona.
Raheem Kassam, what'd you see in Arizona?
A lot. So I can't believe, firstly, how little the conservative media is covering this phenomenon. And it is a phenomenon out there. You got to understand, while that's absolutely right in terms of Gates and Green are drawing these crowds, Gosar and Biggs were there as well, it being their home states.
Biggs at Rockstar and Gosar.
But in a lot of ways, those people weren't just there to see them and hear those speeches. Those people were there to see each other. That became very clear to me. People were just as jazzed about getting the time to spend together while they were lining up outside, while they were milling around, waiting for the event to start, and exchanging information. You got to understand, there were three major events taking place in Arizona that weekend, this just past weekend. And all these people went to all of them. And then there is a Nigel Farage rally, I think, happening on Tuesday.
Big one.
And all these people are going to that as well.
Yeah.
So I walk out the front of the venue. I just want to see, like, hey, what's the line like outside? As the room's already full inside. And I got to tell you, firstly, I need to travel with security now. No, it's amazing. In fact, these people were my security. I mean, I was mobbed with love by these people who were all just chanting war room. I called you at one point. Because it just got so crazy out there, and people were just demanding to speak to you.
Hold it, stop.
Directly on the phone to you.
Stop. There's always a little scam when you talk about Raheem. He calls me, he says, hey, these guys all want to talk to your war room fans. So there's 1,000 of them out there.
Yeah.
Of course, the people that come up, and I want to thank the woman, comes up and says, Steve, you have to stop cutting off Raheem and the rest of your guests. Right?
She didn't actually tell me she was going to say that.
Yeah, right.
Sound familiar, okay, right. Randy Taylor.
But that was the overwhelming message from most people, by the way. However, the line snaked around and went all outside. Initially, they had protesters in the way of the line. Antifa, the line was so
Antifa?
Large. Oh, I mean, you know, this wasn't even Antifa. I mean, this was pathetic. It was about 12 people with little, I mean, they didn't even have signs. They had kind of scrawled something in biro on a cereal packet, you know, and they were holding these up. They had to move them over the street because the line was so long to get into the venue. So the line had to continue down the street. There was no parking available for miles and miles. It was extraordinary, and it tells you the power of this thing. It tells you the power of the people right now, how just they are not taking their shoulder off the wheel. That's always something you worry about, right? It's always something you're concerned about. Are people, you know, depressed? Are they dejected? Are they letting up? Are they relenting? Are they being beaten back? And I can report to you today from Arizona, no such thing is happening there.
All right, now just really quick by way of context. You might have been expecting to see the arena where the forensic audit is being done. What he was talking about was very simply events that include Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz going out and holding rallies. But they're related to a couple of other things. Well, they're related to the audit. They're related to the southern border. But they're also related to what's going on in Washington, D.C. So this kind of is an all-encompassing sort of event. And I wanted to show that to give context to what Mike Lindell was saying about the audit in Arizona and elsewhere. But this kind of says, hey, wait a minute, the people are angry, and they're not just angry about the audit, they're angry about the southern border, they're angry about what's going on with Pelosi, and even at governor levels, like Whitmer, you know, you can't do this, but I can, and Pelosi and others. So the people are waking up, and they're pushing back. Randy Taylor, that kind of set that clip up. I should have done that before, but you get the idea now where people we're not happy. We're not taking this lying down. So,
no, and it's not just a handful of people online or something complaining or that are upset. We know that there's, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 million people out there whose vote got chewed up and thrown out. Okay? People are angry. Absolutely. They have a right to be. And in that whole group of stuff, there's Second Amendment rights are huge. The border, there's so many things stacking up. The stinking virus, the lockdowns, everything surrounding the virus. This was all by design. The virus was worked in just like they had to bring the virus in to alter the voting system. They didn't really have a choice because they had no reason to have drive-in voting and doing all these crap ballots and the mail-outs and this and that and counting votes for 3 weeks after the election if they didn't have the virus. The virus is the Pandora's box. This is the vehicle that they used to bring about the election results that they obtained, the false elections results that they obtained. This is all tied together. Remember, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about everything is interwoven.
That's exactly right. Yes.
And every subject that we bring up, Doug can do it, or I can do it. We can tie it to six other things.
Yep.
The 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon. This is 6 degrees from communism.
That's a
good. We're getting whacked from all sides, but people, you have to sit down and look at each individual thing and follow the trail and see where it leads. Okay, and that's where we're at, and that's why when I throw this egg at you in the next few days, you're going to have to stop and consider it, because the people that are out here that are playing this game, they're smart, and they're really good at predicting human behavior.
Yeah, I think they've had a pretty long time to practice this.
Yeah, no kidding. They've been observing us for some time now.
Yes, we're their test subjects in the lab of humanity.
And, I have a quick question, Doug. Maybe you can shed some light on it. The outside of the five or seven states that have been in question on the voting, some people say five, I say seven.
How about 48 or 50? I'm sorry.
Thank you. There's 50 of them. Well, I'm curious if they've been scrambling in those other states to clear out those machines, blow them out, because they're not secured. They're not sitting, they haven't been seized by U.S. Marshals or anything. What's going on? You know what I mean? With this is far deeper than just the states that we stumbled on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's evidence piling up right now. Now, mm-hmm. I can only speak for. I think it's Arizona, and I think either Wisconsin or Michigan, I'm not sure which one, where they were able to verify the when I say they, I'm talking about the auditors were able to verify the deletion of records from some of these machines.
Okay, which is criminal in itself.
Yes, it is. It's now when you say that. It's criminal because of the intent. It's like an inchoate crime. Okay. It would be more on the conspiracy side than the actual. So you can delete, for example, if you delete your email because you need space, right?
Right.
And in that email list that you delete, I'm just using this as an example, is evidence of your criminal activity under which you're being investigated or for which you're being investigated. Then the act of deletion of all of your email is the inchoate crime aspect of the crime of what the emails represent.
Right. I'll use the Hillary Clinton defense.
Yeah. Well, just wipe it with a.
No problem.
Yeah. This whole thing is, to me, you know, is just amazing to watch. I do believe, and I think, Navarro Report, for example, he's got all the volumes up. And on HagmanReport.com, we do have a special section underneath the prime stories titled Election Fraud. For example, the Navarro Report. Here is the evidence. Okay, Mike Lindell, Brandon House, Mary Fanning, so on. All of this shows you different elements of the fraud. And folks, I would use that as kind of a point of reference. And more will be added. But recently, too, John Fredericks came out and was talking about 950 votes, I think it was in Fulton County, military ballots, all went to Donald Trump. Not only that, all the votes that went to Donald Trump or went to Joe Biden, not only that, they were all fake ballots, printed pre-printed ballots with these circles machine printed in for Biden. I don't know whether you saw that or not.
Mm-hmm. No, I just anybody would sit back and just look at the whole Biden thing. The guy didn't campaign. Right. He camped out in his basement. If he was such a great president, then why'd you guys have to militarize Washington, D.C.? You know, if he was in love, everybody loved Biden. You know, the whole thing just stinks.
It does.
Stinks. Even just at a glance, it stinks. And then when you start digging in, you're like, how do these people? Man, the gall of these people. This is a criminal takeover by the left and by China. It started with Clinton. Really, really started with Clinton. China is pretty much the name on the title of the United States.
Sadly, yes. So how do you, so as investigators, how do we triage? Well, maybe we're beyond triage, but how do we react to this? Again, as investigators, not as people behind a microphone, but I keep coming back to this. Your bomb, by the way, the bomb you dropped, the Iranian scientists at Wuhan. Okay, that's a problem for me. Okay, folks.
All right. The fact that I said that's going to stir up some crap.
I'm just
telling you. I'm solid. I know the person. I saw it myself. Can't take that away from me.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure certain people, including Colonel Lawrence Sullen, gets that information.
Well, I just right now I can't really elaborate on it because I'll mess up an investigation.
Right. I get it. Okay, in the absence of conservative media talking out, Randy, I mean...
Conservative media?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, Fox News isn't really talking about this. The only media outlet, conservative media outlet talking about this is OAN.
Right.
When I say this, I'm talking about the mashup of, mm-hmm. of the virus, the... voting fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Fox
is a big disappointment. I know that, and I'll tell you why. In my personal opinion, they turned on Trump.
They did. Yes,
they did. And then once Trump was gone and Biden was in office, now they're all running around. It's like that leader of I can't think of his name. He's always calling out. He's the head of the GOP. In Congress,
McCarthy. Not McCarthy.
That guy. Yeah. We wound up about this and we're upset about that. Yeah. And putting videos out where somebody had their blinker on and was making a right hand turn into the hospital. They're here to run us down. You know, McCarthy, you're an ass. I hope you're seeing this. You're an ass. You had your chance to help save this country and you blew it. And then you turned on the man who cares more about this country than any politician I've ever met, seen, or unseen, heard otherwise. You turned on him. And now you're down there screaming like you're here to save America. You're part of the problem, not part of the solution. I'm tired of the McCarthys. I'm tired of the Mitch McConnells. All that garbage has got to go. They are nothing but stuffed suits. They have no loyalty to anybody but themselves and whoever their master is, whoever their, the one that handles the puppeteer, whoever their puppeteer is. Because you look at them, especially that McCarthy guy, just makes me want to vomit. You know, suddenly he's, we're the GOP and we're this and that. You're nothing. You're nothing.
You know, okay, and we only have about six more minutes, or no, not even 4 minutes. I want to bring something else up here. You know the Cyrus Vance Jr., Southern District of New York, federal prosecutor, Manhattan District, convening a grand jury in the focus of this grand jury. And you've dealt with grand juries. I've dealt with, look, I'm telling you, this is going to be a problem. And the focus is on President Donald Trump. And then you got Letitia James as Attorney General in New York, you know, running her campaign saying, I'm going to get Trump. These are prosecutors searching for criminal activity on a person they want to turn into a suspect. Okay. So what are your thoughts? A grand jury?
What they're trying to do, seriously, because Donald Trump, honestly, could come back in 2024.
There won't be a 2024, but yes.
I know that, but let's just go with in theory. They want a felony charge. The one thing that could keep them out of office. That's what they're going for.
Well, you can, even if a felony charge, so what? How about a felony conviction?
Well, you know what I'm saying, a felony conviction.
Right.
Okay? They're doing their best because they are terrified of this guy. They really are. But that's fine. If Trump gets blown out, DeSantis comes in. Whatever. You know? We've got a lot to do before that election. We've got a lot to do before midterms. I'm glad that Lindell's out there stirring it up. This stuff needs to go in front of the Supreme Court. Biden and Harris need to be physically removed from office. Things need to change. This capsule, this vessel that we're in called the United States, has got to be right side up. We've got to make it right side up.
We do.
Because we absolutely have to, or we go no further. And the rest of the world is watching us and depending on us. They haven't given up on us. The rest of the world has not. Read the emails, read the posts, get the feedback from the people. They've not given up on us. For some reason, the United States and the patriots in the United States are like a beacon. We're like a lighthouse in the storm. And they're watching us and they want us to do something. We got a lot of responsibility here, Doug.
Yep. I know. And you know, we are doing things.
It's not a bubblegum machine, though.
No. And you're exactly right. And,
Please, if you think it is, you've given way more credit than where you deserve because we just don't operate that way. We can't.
Well, we could. It wouldn't work out too well, but you know.
Well, yeah, and there goes our integrity and our honesty, and if you believe that, boy, I got a bunch of stuff to sell you.
yeah, and now we break for a commercial, after which we will solve this issue. All right. Randy Taylor, I want to thank you so very much. Look, it was, this is intense. It really is, but I want to thank you for coming on with me and talking about this and sharing the information that you did.
And we're going to be sharing a lot more over the next few days. Like I said, I'm going to throw some ideas at you. All I'm going to ask you to do is keep an open mind. Okay.
Right on, brother. And, I'm going to be fighting you. I want that not to come out of the spin cycle for various reasons. All right, folks. Thank you, Randy. God bless you, my friend.
See you later.
Randy Taylor, his email, randytaylor@hagmanreport.com. Send him an email. Tell him what you think. Leave a comment on Rumble. Subscribe to us on Rumble or Brighteon. Folks, going to be right back. This is Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com. There you can get all of the recent articles, news articles, information, everything you need. Click on the banner, click on the menu above, and go directly to the programs, the shows, that is. There you have it, all in one place. Also, from there, you can also see my new book, and I want to thank everyone for your interest and your purchase. It's available on Amazon. It's In the Dark of Night, based on actual events, inspired by actual events that took place back in 1987. I was talking to Russ Dizdar about this book, and we shared a lot of information, memories, and such. It's In the Dark of Night. Please, you know what? You purchase this, it supports our efforts against human and child sex trafficking. That's right. It's available by on paperback there or on Kindle. Purchase it at Amazon.com. And while you're there, after you've finished it, please leave an honest review if that's if you don't mind. Appreciate that. All right. You know what feels great now that spring has sprung and summer approaches? Paying off high-interest credit cards, getting a lower rate and saving money. Refinance your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Please do this for me, folks. Save yourself some money, unnecessary money. I'm telling you, you can save yourself a boatload of money. A boatload of money. Ugh. Man, it's an easy way to save hundreds to thousands of dollars to lower your and lower your interest rate. LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. It's lower than the average rate of 18% APR. Plus, there are no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply, which I think is a great deal because, man, you know, even a day's worth of interest is just, to me, so unnecessary. Oppressive interest rates. Oh, man. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. And here's what we've worked out with the fine folks at LightStream, what they've given to us, actually. Just for you folks, listeners and viewers, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman. That's LightStream. That's lightstream.com/Hagman, HAGMANN. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR, included 0.50 auto pay discount, percent auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You'll be counting your savings and sending me thank you notes. You will. They'll thank me later. All right, lightstream.com. And speaking of good things, spring has sprung, the flowers are blooming, and oh, everyone's happy. You know what? Richard Proctor. Talk about a man whose flowers are blooming and this the aroma of lilacs going through your home, saving the Constitution. We need to save the Constitution. Talking about books, this is a great book. See that little thing there? It's right there. That's a bestseller, Amazon bestseller ranking label. And if it wasn't true, he couldn't do that. All right. As well as Bathroom Economics. Oh, my goodness. It's a great book. Bathroom Economics plus the Liberty Series and some other books. Go to Provis, P-R-O-V-I-S, ProvisInstitute.com. And there you will see all of the books. And Dr. Richard Proctor is busy, number one, doing his own broadcast once a week. And I so enjoy listening to those, Saving the Constitution on Rumble. I so enjoy watching on Rumble or listening by way of, I can never remember what button I press. Is it Spreaker? Yeah, Spreaker. That's what I thought it was on. That was on Spreaker and elsewhere. Saving the Constitution weekly series. And he's also busy out there lecturing to groups of 10 or more people, which I think is fabulous, and getting the ground game going for the fight to save the Constitution. Without any further ado, Richard Proctor, thank you so much. And thank you for your understanding. It's been quite a day, and the abbreviated time together, of course, has to do with personal commitment, and I appreciate your understanding.
Well, you have things to do in life. I understand that.
Yes.
We all have things we want to do and take care of, and I don't have a light on. Hang here just a minute. I've got to turn the light on. Nobody will even know I'm here. I didn't turn the light on. It's got to be on. You'll not even know.
I love it when you disappear. When you appear and disappear, it messes with my mind there. But with a green screen, that's pretty cool. So that's good to see you, my friend.
Well, it's good to be here. It's good to be here. I've got a little bit more of my sunburn. This time it really is, because I'm out in the garden gardening and building garden stuff and doing all kinds of stuff in between all of the other stuff I do nationwide. And tonight I've got a group. I don't know how many it will be, 40, 50. I'm not sure. We'll see.
It's great.
Okay. Then we've got another group coming up. Could be 50 or 60 or 100. Things are going on. People are understanding. But I want to mention something. This is the time, you know. Everybody's saying that now is the time. Everything's going back to normal. Oh, isn't this nice? We're getting taking our masks. Oh, social. All these things are all going away. COVID is almost done. Oh, that's good. We'll be back to normal. Hogwash. All we have now is a respite between what was and what's going to come. And what's going to come will be more difficult and problematic than what was. Get your gardens in, get your personal situation so that you can survive. Do the best you can. People living in apartments, use every space you've got. Get ready, folks. Problems are coming worse than the ones we suffered last year. Now, I don't know when they're going to start, but they are going to. They are going to start. Folks, this is a learning time, a time of being able to absorb things. Now, Doug just talked about saving the Constitution. You know, gang, if you don't have a copy of the statement of saving the Constitution, you're not ready for what has been and what is coming. You're just not ready. I'm sorry. It's just you're not ready to face what's going to occur. Why? Because you don't know what you've got. You don't know what you... And what do you have? You have a Constitution-inspired document by God, and it is our country's contract. And that needs to be preserved. And the only ones that can preserve it are those who know what it is. You can't preserve it if you don't know. I'll bet there's not very many out here that understand that in the Bill of Rights, they're given the right to not have by cruel and unusual punishment. I mean, there are no ex post facto laws. Those things are important. You have something you can get your teeth into. At least, and many of these things that are coming needs to be done in groups. But it would be really stupid if a group formed and one half knew what they were talking about and the other half didn't. Oh, dear me. You'd have people standing in front of the authority arguing with themselves as to what's necessary rather than being united. And the only way you can get united is to know what the Constitution says. And the only book that teaches the Constitution as it was written, paragraph by paragraph, all the amendments, everything, is Saving the Constitution. It's the only one. And with prices going up all over the place, we're still able to sell that out at $20, shipping and handling all included. Now, you spend more than that at McDonald's. You go to your family and you spend more than that at McDonald's. Come on, folks.
Yeah.
Are you going to be prepared or are you going to wonder when it happens? What shall I do now? What can we do now? Are you going to wonder about that? I mean, that's very important. And we're in a time where everybody thinks it's going back to normal. I hear it every day. Oh, boy, the stores are taking masks down. Oh, I see places where they had to have masks. Absolutely. I have a big red sign. Now the signs are gone. People are going in, some with, some without. Some people are still scared of this non-problem. But it's not going to last. Shortages are coming. I mean, I'm building an addition. We're having trouble getting lumber, concrete, all kinds of things. We're even having trouble getting workers because many are paid so much they want to stay home. They don't want to work. I get more money at home. That's the problem. We are beginning to depend on the federal government. And any time you depend on an outside source, the day will come that outside source will jerk the money away. Unless you do exactly what they say. And, I mean, you're paying for your house now, I expect. Many are. Many are still at work. Many are happy days. Oh, things are going on. They're paying for their home. In spite of the Great Reset, which I'm not sure will occur or not. But anyway, in spite of that, the day will come at the direction the United States is headed where you won't have the money to pay for your home. So if you can do it, get out of debt. Cars, credit cards. You know, the credit card program is just growing like gangbusters.
Yep.
I watch consumer debt. It's going as fast as the federal debt is going. $18 trillion now, over $21 trillion, working on $22 trillion. Now, that's not the national debt, which we talk about all the time. That's the debt that you, I'm going to point at it. I can't. Aha. That you, I'm pointing at you, every one of you, have signed for your cars or your homes or your vacations or whatever you borrowed money to do. You have signed on the dotted line. You will pay it. And you're obligated to pay it. Get out of debt. Don't incur more. Get out of debt. Credit card, it is booming. It's booming. And it's all debt. And what's the interest rate now?
Oh, man.
25, 26. Have you heard 30 yet? 35, 36? Well, it's coming.
On payday loans, it's like 90%.
You know, yeah, that's a special deal, though.
Right, but on credit,
like 90%.
On
they're
credit
supposed
cards,
to only be a couple weeks long, those debts.
Right, but on credit cards, somebody had sent me an email, and their interest rate was 22.9%.
Oh, well, that's a good deal. I have an interest rate, if I paid it, of 25.6. But the reason I don't pay it, because I don't owe it. But if I owed that card, if I borrowed against that card and didn't pay it off at the end of the month, I'd be paying 20, 25, 26, 25, 6.
That's usury. Usury. Wow.
Yes, it used to be called that. Now it's called normal business.
Yeah, that's true.
In the days of yore, when I was a young whippersnapper, this is in the 1900s, way back in the 1900s, I'm talking before the Depression. Anyway, in the days of yore, okay, I bought a car, 6%. I paid for the car in 2 years. Paid it off in 2 years. It wasn't a burden even. I was just a young whippersnapper. It wasn't even a burden. Money on savings was like 3. Do you remember days, Doug, when the savings was 3?
I actually remember when you used to earn interest when you had a savings account. Yes.
Yes, earned interest. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. What is it? 0.0003?
Yep. Like that. Yeah.
Crazy.
There's so many zeros in front of the dot. And yeah. Behind the dot, after the dot. You know, I went to Vietnam, spent a year in Vietnam, saved money. They paid 10% during the time of Vietnam interest on the savings account. So I socked a lot away. I didn't have to spend much in Vietnam. There wasn't much to buy. I socked it away. I even got a part-time job teaching economics. How do you like that? In Phuket, here I am teaching economics. In the time of Vietnam War, 1969. Yeah, that's when I was there, 69, 70. Guys, when opportunity knocks, don't look away. Take advantage of it. Right now, you have an opportunity. Right now, you have an opportunity to get this book, Saving the Constitution, and Bathroom Economics, and the series, Saving the Custom Liberty Series. Thank you very much. The Liberty Series for $20 a book. Right now, you can still buy these books at bookstores all around the country. Go there and get it. If you don't want to order something and wait for it and want it in your hot little hand, go there and get it. They'll get it for you. There's lots of them still there. I'm still sending them. There's lots there. Every avenue, every bookstore in the United States can order it. You can get it on my websites. You can get it. You can call me on the phone. I don't care. We can get you the books. I have people call every day, want more books. Okay, I send them. Folks, we've got to get that book out. We've got to get people to understand the importance of that book. You know, we talk about Christmas presents and birthday presents and all that kind of stuff. Graduation presents from high school, things like that. Now, I know this seems a little mundane. Since when are you going to give your kid graduating from high school some kind of a Constitution book? Add it to the list and then ask them to give you a report on it. Ask them. They got to read it. The worst thing in the world is to buy this book, put it on the coffee table and look at it new. Oh, look at that. It's not brand new. Look at that. And next year, brand new, look at that. No, I want them well worn. You guys have seen, I hold it up regular, you've seen what my Constitution copy looks like. Let's hold it in the right place. My Constitution copy, this is what the bottom of my Constitution copy looks like. Okay? I go through this thing constantly. The reason it's so much trouble is because this is a virtual thing behind me. So I have to get things in exactly the right place or they disappear. Anyway, folks, you've got to have your book worn out. Nobody has called me for a second copy because they wore out the first yet. That ought to be worn out. It's your life. It's your coming life. It's your lifestyle. It's your economy. It's everything. You've got to understand these things. Here's a question. I'm going to ask the audience. Here's a question. You're in Biloxi in 1969. Yeah. Summer 1969. That neighborhood. And here comes, yes, it's in 1969. My young son was just born. So it's 1969. Here comes a hurricane called Camille. Huge hurricane. I mean, it was terrible. I went down to Biloxi. That's where I was headed for. The day after the hurricane, okay? The day after. We got there before most people did, okay? I mean, most of the rescue people did. We were there first. Anyway, when we got there, it was devastated, absolutely devastated. Biloxi was. Pax Christiane was gone off the face of the map, disappeared completely. Not a stick. Okay, now, in Biloxi, there was a significant shortage of plywood. I mean, that's what they used to board up the windows. That's what they use now to board up the windows, put the roof back on, walls back on, all kinds of stuff. Plywood's really important. Now, back in those days, again, we're talking 69, we're talking 1969. Back in those days, plywood ran about $5 a sheet. 4x8, $5 a sheet. When the hurricane went through, almost all lumber wood products were destroyed. And one company had plywood. Not a lot, but some. Maybe a couple hundred sheets. And he raised the price to $200. Now, every time I have an economics class, I ask the folks, what should the mayor of Biloxi do about that?
Get a 5-gallon thing of tar, some feathers, or a rope and a lamppost and assemble. I'm telling you, look, I want to hear your answer, but I want to tell you my answer. All right.
Yes. All right, what should the mayor do? It's $200 a sheet.
Okay. I understand free enterprise. I understand, you know, the free market. I get all of that. But when I would probably, given the, you want to do that, you know, Mr. Idiot, Mr. Schmuck, Mr. Moron, you want to do that? Not a problem. But I'll tell you what, your life in Biloxi is going to be hell from this day on. And I'm going to make sure everyone knows that you're a moron, that you're a greedy SOB, and what you've done to what you haven't done for the members of your
community.
You're
talking about the business, the person that was selling at $200 a sheet.
Yes, because constitutionally, I don't believe that I could. I don't know. Maybe there's something in the law where I could.
Terrible gouging, isn't it? That's terrible gouging in a time of emergency.
Yes, it's
right?
Sinful. Yes.
Okay. So what do you think the mayor did? I'm not asking you to answer that. I'm asking the audience in their minds to think, what do you think the mayor did? This is a problem. Well, let me tell you what he did. He set the price at $10 a sheet. I was there. Set the price at $10 a sheet. Because he did that, everybody had all the virtual plywood they needed made out of air. Because he did that. Now, Doug, you just said that guy's sinful, charging $200 a sheet. No, Doug, not. He's the guy that's going to save you charging $200 a sheet. Why? Why will that guy charging $200 a sheet save you? Because all the states in the north that produce plywood wood, you know, mills produce plywood. All of them will see $200 a sheet. They know they can manufacture that stuff for $1.50 or $2. They know the transportation's $1 a sheet. They know they can get it down there for $4. Let's go make $196 a sheet. Get it down there. Ship it down there. Get all we can do down there before the other guys do. Let's be the first ones. And all of a sudden, the guy who charged $200 a sheet saved your city. Because now everybody that can produce goes 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day producing sheet, plywood, putting it on flat cars, sending it down by the ton. Thousands and thousands and thousands of sheets came down. Would have. How many came? None.
Why? I'm not sure I understand this.
Well, it's very, very simple. When it was $200 a sheet, the guys up north said, we can send it down and get $200 a sheet.
Oh,
let's get it. Let's get it there while the price is $200 a sheet.
Right.
As fast as we can. When the price was $10 a sheet, the guys up north didn't care. They were already selling it profit. They didn't care.
Right.
$10 a sheet killed the plywood availability. $200 a sheet was a boon to the economy.
But okay.
Now that's pure economic theory, guys. That's pure theory. That's exactly right.
But you said virtual. Okay, so.
Yeah, virtual means nothing.
Right.
They have all the plywood they wanted.
All right, we're talking about a real life example here, are we not?
Yes, we are. We're talking a real life example. They didn't get any plywood from up north.
All right. Then, okay, then, boy, I've got a bunch of questions then. All right. So. The most obvious question, are you, Richard Proctor, okay with that guy down there charging $200 a sheet in the wake of the worst hurricane this country has seen in a gazillion years? Are you okay with that?
I understand what you're saying, because people came from all over the country, donated all their time to do all they could. Yes, they did. And maybe perhaps people will look at him with a view that, this is terrible, he's charging that. But how much plywood did he have? 200 sheets or 300 sheets, whatever it was, not very many. How much was needed? Thousands of sheets. So I'm going to sell all my plywood out the door at regular price, $8 a sheet. How many people can he help?
The rich ones.
Oh, that's all he'll be able to help. He won't be able to help any of the common people, and they are the ones that need most of the help. They're the ones who need it, but he won't be able to help any of them, will he? Not one. So, yes, I'm okay with it. Because I know he can only service a very few houses. And the whole community needs all they can get. And by charging $200 a sheet, he would have brought plywood in by the ton, by the flat load car. Trains would have come, they'd move some traffic of trains away to get plywood down to Biloxi.
But he wouldn't, look, the people up north wouldn't have not have gotten the $200 a sheet. They would have gotten $100 a sheet.
Supply and demand. Remember supply. That's what we're talking about. Supply and demand.
Right.
As soon as those plywood sheets started rolling in, the price would begin to drop. And they wouldn't want to take it back. And once it's on the train going, it's going. It's gone. They've made it. They've spent the money to make it. They're shipping it. It's on its way as fast as they can get it there. The first sheets that come in will be expensive. But they're going to be thundering in there right after that. Every train car, every train that can get down there, every semi-truck, everybody that can get any plywood to Biloxi would be bringing it on the hope they could get a major profit. And because of that, there would be so much plywood in Biloxi and surrounding communities. Because of that, the price would probably drop down below what it was before the hurricane.
Good, but not that
yes.
good.
Now that's pure economics.
Okay, so that's the other side of that. So, because the way you describe this, okay, I wouldn't be too happy with that guy selling $200 a sheet plywood. I would not be a happy camper about that.
I understand you wouldn't be. I understand it, but you asked me what I thought. I think sell all you've got at $200 a sheet. Now you haven't got any, but everybody up north knows they could get $200 a sheet. That's the key. They know they can get it. If he doesn't sell it for that price, then they don't know they can get it, and they don't come. guys, that's economics. People don't know economics. They don't understand what's happening. Same thing happened to whole motel rooms on the outside when people were leaving to go somewhere else where they could live until this place eased up. Prices of the motel rooms went up, up and up and up and up and up. But nobody could build any new hotel rooms that quickly. Okay. So they just went further out. But the prices still went up. The prices go up because the demand is there. What's the demand for the product? The demand for the product in the case of plywood was astronomical because you've got to get it built because it's going to rain. And this is not going to be a hurricane. It's just going to be regular rain. Wind is going to blow. You got to heat the house. Well, not in the middle of the summer. Got to cool the house. Well, they don't cool much down there anyway. That's the problem, you see. People don't understand what demand and supply really means. Oh, everybody knows that sand is cheaper than diamonds, made out of the same stuff, just different ways. Okay? And they know diamonds. Ooh, they know that because there's so few of them. There's so much sand. They understand that. But when it gets right down to an item like that, for example, let's use another example. We're in New York City now. A new play is coming up that everybody wants to see. It's a biggie. Oh, my, yes. So a guy, an innovative dude, went in and bought up several full sections. Okay? I mean, he bought up 100 seats. And he stands out in front saying, you want to see this? I got tickets at double the price it used to be, whatever that would have been. Let's say instead of 35, it was 70. I got tickets, $70 a sheet. Anybody want them? Standing up there in the corner. They call that scalping too. And there's against laws against it. But what's that man done? That man that did that got a stockpile so that when people came to New York that wanted to see that show, that didn't know that it was going to be sold out. And now they can't see it because there's no seats. Except this young man, to make a little bit of money, has purchased those seats. And he stands out and makes them available to everybody who wants them. He has provided a service. If you don't want them for $70, $80 a seat, you don't need to buy them. You can go back home not having seen the show. Come on, that's life. Everybody's got a choice.
But for that scalper, they would have been able to come to New York and enjoy themselves at a fair price, not at a scalper price. Look, I'm in favor of free enterprise. I'm in favor of this. I'm not in favor of screwing the other guy.
You're really not in favor of it.
No.
You see? Because what you're saying is, in the sake of this case of the scalper, he has risked several thousand dollars to get those seats. He's risked it. I mean, he spent it. He bought the seats.
He's got risk because he's got greed. He's got risk
Well, there's some greed in there, but what's wrong with greed? He wants to make a profit. He wants to make a big profit. The people who are coming.
Off the backs of people, off the backs of unsuspecting people.
They don't have to watch the show. They can go somewhere else and do other things. It's a personal choice.
All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy 200 of your books. All right, and let's see here. I'm going to buy your entire inventory of books. I'm going to charge seven times your book price on each one of your books. How's that?
Excellent, excellent. And when there aren't any more of them available, and people still want them, you'll get your price.
But.
That's why, that's how it's done.
Yeah.
That's what supply and demand is all about. And we're not taught it. We're not taught what supply and demand is.
But it's not right though. Okay.
It's a law. It's an economic law. Demand and supply. If there's scads of demand and there's only one or two supply, what's the price going to do?
But if you create that, but here's the thing.
Nature creates it. The situation creates it.
No, a greed whoremonger out there creates it. The guy with the plywood,
he didn't create it. The hurricane created the lack of supply, and the people created the demand. Many of them not wanting to pay that price would have probably gone out of town, stay somewhere else waiting for it to settle down. And it would. It did. You see, people have choices, and supply and demand determines what the choices will be. Every day we're faced with these kinds of things, just not as dramatic as the ones I just brought up. But I watched the plywood work. And like you say, only the rich got plywood. Nobody else did. Nobody else did. I would have preferred to have had plywood for the rest of the people.
At normal prices. Yeah, at normal prices. At normal prices.
Well, by the time the plywood got down there, the prices would go down because there would be so much of the stuff that it'd be glutted. I mean, they don't want to ship them back. They'll sell them for whatever they can get.
And take a loss, which a well-deserved loss in my view, I hope.
Well, okay, they won't really take a loss because they'll do stuff with it. It won't be a problem. But there's a risk they're taking shipping all that stuff down. Wanting to be the very first one. Go back in the times of the 1800s when the ships were plying the seas with trade. Okay. Here we have a market. This kind of stuff happened let's just use an example. It happened in Hong Kong. Okay. There was a tall mountain. There is a tall mountain in Hong Kong. People would watch for ships coming in on the top of the mountain. They'd watch for ships. They'd watch for the mail ship. They'd watch for this or that or the other. They'd watch for it. Then as soon as they saw the mail ship coming, they'd run down and tell their bosses, whoever it was, the mail ship is coming. That guy would send a boat out to meet the mail ship, get the mail and bring it in. And he'd read it first and make his money by the profit of things that are going to go down or up based upon what the news was in the mail ship. And people do this every day.
Insider mailing.
Pardon?
Insider mailing.
Yeah, insider mailing, right. Good point. See, this is done every day. These kinds of things happen all the time. It's all supply and demand. Supply and demand is the most important law of economics. The most important. Everything else just flakes on it. Supply and demand is the most important, and nobody understands it. And that's too bad, because if they would understand it, they could take advantage of things that you call scalping, that I call opportunities. Risk. He's taken the risk. He bought all those tickets. If he doesn't sell them, he loses. He can't do them the next day. The show's not there anymore. You know, because the tickets had to be bought by day, seat by day, not by a gob of seats. He had to buy the right number for every day. And if he didn't sell them on that day, he didn't have any money anymore. He lost it all. He lost it all. He didn't have them. The guys who do that or did that or do it, they know what the take's going to be based upon the days of it, and they buy accordingly. And they risk their livelihood on it. It isn't greed. It's just a way to make money by providing a service to people that they can't get if you don't do this. You see, that's what he's doing. If I went to New York and I wanted to see Gone with the Wind, okay, when it was there, I really want to see this. I've heard about it and I really want to see it. And some dude says, hey, now I know the price of the regular ticket's only $35, but I'll sell you this for $50. No, I won't take it at $50. What about $45? And you can dicker, can't you? I can start at $75, maybe get $60. You see, this is supply and demand. He wants to sell this stuff because he has a supply of them he doesn't want to keep. I'm the demand guy. What will I pay for it? And if I won't pay what he wants, I won't buy the ticket. I'll go somewhere else, do something else. I'll be disappointed, but it's not a life-threatening deal here.
And maybe that's the issue. When you mentioned the hurricane and the plywood, to me, that is actually taking advantage of victims, okay? And I don't take kindly to that, okay?
Well, remember, he took advantage of the victims, and they all got plywood because it came.
Yeah, because they gave a kidney away or had to sell a kidney to get it, but they got it, right?
No, not when it came. The price drops dramatically. Watch the stock market. The price can drop thousands of dollars a day, thousands an hour. Well, as soon as that plywood arrived at the depot and they saw how much there was, okay, None of it went for $200 a sheet anymore. Wouldn't have gone for $200 a sheet. The price would have come down dramatically. They want their plywood in use. They want to sell it right now. They got to get it sold.
Okay, I guess I missed that step in there where the plywood arrived, extra plywood arrived because of the $200 potential price tag, and then of course the price dropped. There was a glut of plywood that was sold at reasonable prices, I suspect, right?
Well, you know, depending on when they showed up, I really want some plywood. I'm the first guy. I want stuff. Says, well, I'm charging $200 a sheet. I ain't going to pay $200 a sheet. And you dicker. It's done in bartering all the time. The Turkish bazaar sells everything that way. Yeah, everything goes out the door that way. So you finally, I'm satisfied with what I pay for it. He's satisfied with what I got for it. I got my plywood and I'm out of there.
Okay. All right.
You got to put the whole picture together. Supply and demand. Absolutely crucial. But if I show up there and he wants $300 a sheet and I can get it over there too, and I want it really bad, I'll go get it for two. But if he wants $10 a sheet and everybody else wants 50, I'll buy it from him for 10. Everybody knows that. That's an innate knowledge. You know it. I know it. Whether we like what I'm talking about or not, you all know that you all will buy that which is least expensive at the point where you will pay for it.
You know what, folks, listening and viewing this on Rumble, put your comments on. I'd be interested to hear your comments from our very well-informed listeners and viewers. You know, look, I get what you're saying.
I'm going to do a podcast about this next week. Go ahead.
No, and folks, tune in next week. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, tune in next week to Saving the Constitution, where Richard Proctor is going to be talking about this more next week in his our segment. So, okay, I understand this. I don't necessarily look. When we
I
talk
understand.
About,
I understand where you're coming from, okay, Doug. I know. Right. I understand it.
Because if my okay, so and this isn't okay. I am not a communist. I'm not a socialist. I am a capitalist. I'm a capitalist.
So is the guy selling it at $200 a sheet. Go ahead.
Well, I've got another name for him, and capitalist is not one of them, okay? But so if my wife, all right, if my wife needed a certain medication, and we see this with insulin and this
now
moron.
Now you're talking about something different.
Okay. Maybe that's a bad – okay. We
please don't use something that like that because the demand or the price is controlled by the pharmaceutical companies and not anybody else.
All right. Well,
insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies have colluded in one way or another to know what the price
is
going
true.
To be. You pay it or you don't get it.
That's true. And the same with gold and silver, by the way, or commodities, gold and silver, the COMEX and that crap that's going on, which I just can't, it blows my mind when I look at it. So, okay.
Well, the gold and silver is going to get worse. Oh, it's going to really get worse. As soon as all the people who have bought gold and silver at cheap prices for somebody else to store it for them go to collect it, they're going to discover it's not there. And the price will go in a day or 2 days or 3 days from 2,000 to 10,000.
Okay. Well,
That's what will happen.
And see, okay. Now, about that, I just want to say this about that. If you had the foresight in good times to purchase metals, gold, silver, whatever it might be, and that price goes up in a manipulated market setting, and you had no part in manipulating the market, like the Hunt brothers did back in the 80s, okay, then
You don't have a problem with that.
I'm okay with that.
And why do you have a problem with a scalper on selling the tickets on Broadway? Same thing exactly in this case.
No.
This is an interesting discussion around the pot belly stove. I agree. An interesting discussion.
But it is interesting. I don't think it's the same because I'm buying from a local coin store and I buy a 1 ounce silver eagle. Okay.
And you bought it now though. That's your decision is to buy it now.
Okay. So
you
I buy it now.
It now.
All right.
Today's prices. Whatever right. they
and,
are.
Now today's price, this is interesting. Today's price is $27.75 or something like that, but you can't buy it for $27.75. No, it's $41. Why?
When? Today?
No, today, right now. I'll tell you what, as we're talking, let me just do this. I'm going to go right here, SD Bullion, all right, and check this out. I just saw this, and I was like, well, I was talking to my buddy Steve Quayle, and I said, what the heck is going on? Right now, silver, $27.74 an ounce, okay? So I go over to buy silver.
And from the local store?
Yes, here.
The local people who do coin dealers.
Right. Because,
local coin dealers.
Right. And I guarantee you, if I called my local coin dealer, they would say exactly whatever this price would be. So I want to buy a single American Silver Eagle 1 ounce silver coin. All right. So the spot price is $27.73 now. All right. So what do you think I'll be paying? What should I be paying?
I have no idea because I've bought lots. And in the past, I paid the commission, and that's all I paid. So $27.73, $28.30.
Yeah, right.
$28.50.
Like maybe 10% over spot, right? Maybe.
Yeah, it usually wasn't even that much.
Right.
That's the idea.
Okay. American Silver Eagle coin. Random year, $40.43.
Today?
Today.
Oh, you can get that price, huh? Good show. No. If you're willing to pay it, he's going to sell it to you. If you're not willing to pay it, he won't sell it to you.
Okay.
And you won't have it.
Right. So if I want it bad enough, I'll buy it at $40.
That's the key.
Okay.
If you want it bad enough, you'll buy it.
Now,
supply and demand.
Okay. So maybe this is the wrong, but in my view, silver is undervalued. So at $40, it's an okay value. All right.
Oh, yes. Silver should be 10 times what it is.
Correct. All right. So that's a hell of a lot different in my view than a guy holding a ticket to Hamilton, for example, or Gone with the Wind or, you know, My Fair Lady or.
But it's precisely the same thing, just looking at it from a different view, but it's precisely the same thing. He invested and bought at 27 or 20 or 25 or whatever the silver was. And now he can get 40 or 50 because the demand is there to get it. It's exactly the same thing.
But what if, okay, so.
There's no difference. And if today the spot is 27 and you can't buy it for less than 40, don't buy it.
But then again, what, 10 years ago or however many years ago, silver was at 44 and people were buying it then, or 40 or 45.
Yeah.
You know,
they were.
Okay. So I understand that. But now we're dealing with the COMEX, that bastard agency COMEX that's responsible for fixing the price of gold and silver.
Well, price of gold and silver has been fixed since they started mining it. It's been fixed by the guys in England.
Right.
They fix the price of gold every day.
All right.
The diamonds too. Silver too.
Excuse me.
It's always been fixed.
Why not let, in a capitalistic free market society, let the market decide the cost or the value as opposed to the commodity?
The market does. Even though it's fixed by those guys in England, the market still decides because it decides whether or not the people will buy it at that price. And if they won't buy it, the guys, it doesn't work. But we have been conditioned to buy it at those prices because we are conditioned by the people who want to sell it to us at higher prices. Hey, there's a lot going on in the background to everything we're talking about, but just pure economics says if I buy something today to sell in 3 months and I can double my money, I'm going to do it. And the people in 3 months, if they want it at that price, they'll pay it. If they don't want it at that price, they won't pay it. And that's the way things are. And I lose if they don't buy it because I risk my capital. I gain if they do. So maybe we'll barter a little bit. That's what trade's all about. That's how trade was going in the ships of the 1800s every time it docked. Every time. You walk into a Turkish, I forget the word. Turkish
opium den.
Place. Pardon?
Opium den. I'm sorry. I was.
No, not that. There's a supply and demand. Okay, the demand's high and the supply's whatever you want. Anyway, so here we've got a situation. The Turkish bazaar. That's the word I was trying to think of. Turkish Bazaar. You can walk in that door and anything you want in the world, including women, I mean wives, that's what I really meant, wives, you can get before you walk out the door at the other end, just as long as you're willing to pay what they're willing to take. And nothing is right. I believe that everything I bought at a bazaar in Turkey, I overpaid. Everything I bought, I overpaid. Why? Because he accepted the price that I was willing to offer, the amount I was willing to offer. So if he accepted it, I knew he made a profit. I don't know how much is all. A story my mother did.
Wait. Walked into that Turkish bazaar, you didn't need a Persian rug. You didn't need one or you were going to die. Or you didn't need one or you're going to freeze to death.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. But I wanted it. That's why
but
I
you wanted
there.
It. So you could have said, yeah. Hey, buddy, you know what? You're going to sell me that for 400 smackaroonies. Right. You know, I don't think so. So goodbye. Right. Have a good day.
That's right. Now All that's right. the scalper in New York at Broadway. Exactly the same thing. You won't die if you don't buy it. It's not a problem.
Okay.
If you don't buy it, he doesn't get money from you and you don't have a ticket. That's fair. It's just as fair as what you just said
right.
about the Turkish bazaar.
Okay, that's fine. But the plywood thing is still under my craw, man. Okay, I'm still pissed
okay.
off about this.
Never going to agree on the plywood thing.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Let's say on every interstate there were kiosks with bandages, you know, trauma wound kits and stuff. Okay, and you could stop. You could pull off and buy a trauma kit
yeah.
for $10.
That's right.
Okay. And then all of a sudden there's a, you know, massive 75 car pileup and you got a whole bunch of people running over saying, hey man, I need the trauma kits. Oh, well, they used to be 10. Now they're 100. You know, the 100.
You picked up a thing that's life and death right this second.
Well, plywood's kind of important when you got crap going through your living room.
You could always get in your car and go to a motel and wait.
I could always punch the plywood guy in the head. I mean, you know, in the throat.
Yeah, you can do that too. A lot of decisions have been made here. Yes. You see, it is always choices. And that's what it's all about. That's what supply and demand is about. There are choices. If the cost is too high, then the buyer has the choice to go somewhere else or do something else or just not buy it. He always has a choice. Nobody is forcing him to buy it. It's not They're very, very seldom is it life or death. It's just, I want at what price? I'll sell at what price? And if they don't come together, a negotiation is not done. If they do come together, the deal is made. No matter who walks away with profit, everybody is happy because they have what they wanted and they got what they wanted. Or they got enough and they got it cheap enough, one or the other. But they've got it. But it's, if they don't want it, make another choice.
All right.
Sugar. Oh, my. Sugar's expensive. Oh, my. I'm not going to buy any more sugar. It's up to $20 a pound. I'll buy honey instead because it's still $1 a pound.
See, okay, there's selection now. Now we've got
Well, there always
choice
is.
And selection.
Always is. The selection and the plywood is just like the motel and wait for the price to come down.
That's apples and oranges. In my view, it's either plywood or you know, one by
two. Nothing? No, it's not plywood or nothing. You can get a tent and live in a tent. That's another option. Mm-hmm. There are scads of options for every case.
I think I'm bleeding eternally.
What he did was save the community because they got all the plywood they needed within a couple of days. 3-4 days at max. All they needed. As it was, they didn't get any. Which would you prefer, none at all or everything you need? And the price won't stay at $200 a sheet. It just started at that point before all the stuff got to the depot. Supply and demand comes in. I always conclude this by saying the price will drop to below what it was before the hurricane because of all the stuff that's there. That's the supply and demand function. Wait a couple of days. Stay in a tent. Go to a hotel. Price will come down. Now go fix it. Now go do it. It won't matter if you have to wait 3 or 4 more days. It's already damaged beyond repair or it's damaged enough because of the hurricane and all the water and all the wind and all the waves. Vlock! Okay? So, go to a motel. Wait for a couple of days. Price will come down. Now go do it. Get a tent. Wait, price will go down. Now go do it. That's how it works. There's always choices. There are always choices.
Until there's
his
not.
His choice created a market that was filled immediately with all the plywood everybody needed, or would have been filled immediately with all the price of plywood everybody needed. Would have. As it was, nobody got the plywood they needed. Nobody got any at any price.
Why do I feel like I'm sounding like AOC right now? I don't know. Why do I feel like I'm sounding like Che Guevara or something? I get what. Look, I am 100% capitalist. I really am. I just
no, like, just under certain conditions.
No.
You're conditional.
Don't make me come down there. Don't make me come over there.
Well done. I think it's outstanding.
I'll turn this car right around. No.
There are some conditions that I'll accept. That roadside emergency thing you're talking about, with all the car pileup, that's life and death. I will accept that. Yes, there are some times that I will accept what you're talking about. But plywood, there are lots of choices. Tickets at the in Broadway, there are lots of choices.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's like, okay, whatever. Choke on your friggin' tickets. All right, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. That's what you would say. Choke on it. I ain't going to get it. I'll get something else. You'll be disappointed, but it's nothing more than that.
But I guess, you know, okay, so look, I envision like an older, like a woman, a single mom, you know, she's got two kids and her clothes are like ripped off, half ripped off from the wind, and her hair's all messed up, and she's got like half a roof, and she wants plywood, and the guy says, yeah, okay, you want plywood? I'll take the girl right there. You know, I mean, it's like.
I know you've painted a picture that's absolutely horrendous. I understand. And I'm not painting that picture. I'm painting the economic fact of having all you need almost immediately. Depends on the picture you're painting. I'm painting a picture of no plywood at all, ever. Or all you need in just a few days if the price stays high. Even though this young lady that came there couldn't get a spot, couldn't do this, couldn't do that. There are other options too for the young lady you just talked about. This young lady, she's got her kids. She's got this problem, that problem. She's not looking for plywood. She's going down the street looking for some place to stay, and she'll find a spot, even if it's just a neighbor. She's not looking to buy plywood. Don't picture the lady that's coming with the two kids and all these problems buying plywood. She didn't care about plywood. She cares about food and shelter.
I got to tell you, shelter. I got to tell you
something. Not shelter next week. Not shelter after some guy comes and builds it for her. No. Immediate. Tonight. Different situations, choices. There's always choices.
Until there's none left. Until there's no choice. And I got to tell you something, okay? I haven't had it, not because I have a problem or anything. I just haven't drank in like 25, 30 years. I think I might have my first drink tonight. Just because. I don't know.
I don't disagree with you, because that's what causes things to happen. You see, your feelings about this subject causes things to happen. Yes, it does. That changes choices. All you know is that guy selling it for $200 a sheet, when that lady you just described, destitute, came in, he didn't turn around and sell it to her for something less. You don't know that he didn't do that. Choices. Always choices.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess we didn't throw that possibility into the story. So, you do make economics interesting. That's for sure.
It ain't boring in my classes.
I guess not.
I had students arguing just like you are about whether they needed a walk around phone or not.
Well, yeah, you could take those
phones.
We don't need those phones.
I lived with a black phone in one place in the house for decades. And, you know, one phone in the house, decades.
And I'm okay with that. Bathroom economics, folks. Boy, you want to, and I'm serious. This book is a great book. We'll never replace this conversation, but it's a great book. Go to PlaySensitive.com.
I think this conversation has been great, Doug. I'm glad you took the position you did. I think that's neat.
But you know, okay, look, if somebody didn't if somebody, there's a difference between a want and a need, in my view.
Oh, yes. Okay. There's a difference.
I mean,
yes.
I want a Bentley, an 85 Bentley, you know, but I don't need it, but I want one.
No, you can get along with the buckboard that you got last week.
Right.
And a horse.
Right. So, okay. So, if somebody says, well, yeah, you can have it for $300,000, I'll say, okay. You know, that ain't happening. Or you can have it for $30,000. I say, well, maybe but I can finance it.
You know something? He's got that $300,000 thing that you said, I'm not going to buy it. Somebody else will come and buy it at $300,000.
But
that's demand and supply. The other guy wants it for $300,000. He's willing to pay it. He makes $1 million a day. He doesn't care about $300,000.
Yeah, that's true.
There's always somebody that will show up to buy it, or he wouldn't have it at that price.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's back up a little bit more, because you were talking about, remember insider mailing, that little joke I had? You know, the guy went
up to
you.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yep. But the post office in the mountain in Hong Kong. Yes.
Right. All right. So what about these senators and congressmen and these politicians that know that they get in the back room, they know that they're going to make a vote on something that's going to cause a stock to rise or fall, and they invest accordingly? Are you okay with that?
Oh, that's not the same thing I'm talking about. I understand what you just said, and it happens every day. Every day. It's just hidden really well. Every day. That's not supply and demand.
That's criminal.
That's criminal. That's criminal. Okay? That is. Because they went off to, they made a fortune on passing laws that they did to make a fortune. No.
Right.
That's criminal. That's not supply and demand. That's a whole other deal.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure we're still on the same planet here. And I mean, I'm still on the same planet as you, okay? It's me. It's me that's having the issues.
No. You just enjoy yourself. I don't mind you take your position. It's your life. You think about it how you want. It doesn't make any difference. And I will too. It doesn't make any difference. You see, that's what we have in this country. We have an ability to say, I don't agree with you, but that doesn't matter. And that's true. It doesn't matter. When I help people in the classes that I have in my institute, if they disagree with me on something, I tell them what I think is the right way. I write down what I think is the right way. If they write it back to me and say, I don't agree with you, I don't chop their head off. I say, okay, so you don't agree with me.
It doesn't change the facts, and it doesn't change, you know, the reality of things. I like these conversations because I hope, and folks, I hope those of you listening and watching this, I hope this draws your interest into economics and the way things are and the way things should be. This is Bathroom Economics, ProvisInstitute.com. It doesn't go into, I mean, it goes into a lot of detail, but it doesn't reflect the conversation we had necessarily. But
it packs the background for the conversation we just had.
Exactly. And this has taught me more about economics than any economics course I've ever taken in my life. Bathroom Economics, ProvisInstitute.com, along with Saving the Constitution.
Let's take the same conversation and let's talk about saving the Constitution.
Now, we got about 2.5 minutes, so 3 minutes.
Okay, we'll take the same conversation and we'll take it into saving the Constitution. The same thing applies exactly. There are concepts in that book that you need to know, not you, Doug, you being the population. You need to know the concepts in that book that you don't know that will be valuable and important for your life, but you don't know them, and you don't know that you need to know them, and you will learn them by getting that book and reading it and wearing it out. You will not know these things, and you'll need to know, and you'll wish you had. Has the time ever come in somebody's life that they wish they had had that piece of information a year ago or 6 months ago or last week? That book is full of all the things you wish you would have known about proper constitutional government. And it's full of them.
Yes.
And people are going to say, I wish I'd have gotten that book because, boy, I could have learned from that book if I'd have just gotten it back when I could buy it for 20 bucks, which I can't buy it anymore because it isn't available anymore because they burned them all.
Well, I've been selling them for $700 a pop, so.
Anyway. Yes, yeah, Doug's going to sell them for $700 a pop. I'll get you your 100 books any day you want them so you can keep them in storage and sell them for your $700.
Oh, you know what? I would never – well, yeah, never mind. They're worth – look, folks, the books are worth every penny. I will just say that. So,
yeah, I price them that way so that people won't feel they're being gouged after they get them.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have priced them at 30 or 40. I could have.
Textbooks.
Information is there. Oh, textbooks are separate. $300.
Yep.
I could have priced it that way, but nobody would want to buy them at that price. I understand that. So I didn't.
Yep.
I tried to put it at a price where people would want to buy it rather than say, well, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to spend my hard earned cash on $30 for that book. No siree. But $20, I'll spend that at a night in the restaurant. I can do that. You got the pitch. I priced them that way for that purpose.
And you did well. My friend, you did well. Thank you for a spirited discussion today. I learned a lot. And folks, I hope you did too.
It's been fun.
It has been. God bless you, my friend. Folks, that'll do it for the Hagmann Report today, May 26, 2021, or 1979, as I like to say. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.